Machine Guns Vegas is a shooting range in Las Vegas that advertises the real feel of what it's like to clear a room with just the pull of a trigger. But now that many more people know what that really feels and sounds like, there are questions again about automatic weapons. Congressman Adam Schiff told Morning Edition the FBI told him that gunman Stephen Paddock had fully automatic weapons. That means you hold the trigger down and unload dozens of rounds, as opposed to a semi-automatic weapon, which might automatically load bullets from a magazine, but you have to pull the trigger to fire each one. The AP and the New York Times report that Paddock also had two bump stocks, kits that can be used to turn semi-automatics into automatic weapons, which would make Sunday night's massacre the first mass shooting in U.S. history carried out with automatic weapons. Paul Barrett is deputy director at the Stern Center for Business and Human Rights at New York University. He's also the author of Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. Paul, when you heard the recordings of the shots being fired Sunday night, 90 shots in 10 seconds by one accounting, did you, like others, assume it was automatic?
Yes, I assumed immediately that it was either an automatic weapon or an AR-15-style weapon that had been customized.
Okay, well, look, we want to hasten to say that, as many say, including the sheriff in Las Vegas, this hasn't been studied by the ATF yet. We only have these anonymous reports from inside the hotel room. But if this was an automatic weapon, let's go through this. Explain the legality of automatic weapons.
They were basically made illegal, and we're talking about machine guns, to use a more common term, in 1986. But when that happened and the very severe restrictions were put on acquiring a new post-1986 machine gun, the machine guns that were already in private hands were basically grandfathered in. So there are thousands and thousands and thousands of those firearms in the country and available to be bought, with some restrictions on the transaction. And a lot of collectors like to have a fully automatic machine gun in their collection. And a lot of people like to go out to the range and experience that automatic weapon firing phenomenon, which is, you know, quite awe-inspiring if you've never had the experience of putting that many rounds downrange that quickly.
Well, but that desire to have these guns has made them hard to get a hold of, these grandfathered, legally purchased automatic weapons made before 1986. Have these weapons been made after 1986, just to be clear?
Oh, sure. They're made, but their uses are sharply restricted. I mean, law enforcement can acquire a fully automatic weapon. Obviously, the military acquires thousands of them every year.
Right. But the average gun owner can't get or shouldn't be able to get an automatic weapon made after 1986 because they are illegal.
For almost all practical purposes,
right.
That's correct.
And by the way, how are we, and this may just be semantics, but how are these automatic weapons, again, single trigger pull, lots of bullets can come out, how are they distinguished from assault rifles?
Well, assault rifle is actually a very vague term and has been used historically to describe both fully automatic weapons and semi-automatic weapons, which you accurately said a few minutes ago, fired one round for each trigger pull. So I would set assault weapon to one side and stick to semi-automatic versus fully automatic.
Okay, let's do that then.
Yeah.
So now we come to how these semi-automatic rifles can be made to be automatic rifles. And there's a distinction here as well. The Washington Post is reporting that investigators are still trying to figure out if the shooter, Stephen Paddock, modified an AK-47 that was found with mechanical components to make it fully automatic, which is illegal, or if he used a legal modification called an attachable crank. And we also talked about how these bump kits were found. What are the differences between these different ways you can modify a semi-automatic and make it automatic?
The essential difference is going into the guts of the gun and mechanically changing the fire mechanism so that the gun becomes fully automatic. Depress the trigger and rounds come out of the barrel until you release the trigger, versus buying basically a modification kit that from the exterior can be attached to the gun and will help you keep the trigger depressed repeatedly so that a semi-automatic gun becomes a fully automatic gun. And there are two basic kinds of sort of aftermarket devices you can buy. One is called a trigger crank, which when it's attached, you can crank the device like a music box crank, and that just keeps depressing the trigger at a very rapid rate, or the one you mentioned, the bump or slide fire, which allows for the shooter to harness the recoil of the firearm and keep shooting at a very rapid rate that approaches that of a fully automatic weapon.
But so this is external, as you said. Why is the external modification legal, but going into a gun and changing the mechanics of it is not?
I don't have any rational explanation for the distinction, and it seems to me that devices that make semi-automatic rifles fire like automatic rifles ought to be illegal.
Well, and we hear that, and you just said that this is a thrilling thing for a gun enthusiast to be able to go to a firing range, for instance, to target practice, and to be able to pull the trigger once and have this barrage of bullets come out. And we understand that this is, you know, it's these gun enthusiasts who are keeping this from being made illegal.
Well, as a practical matter, I think that's true. It's gun enthusiasts who ultimately support the NRA, and it's the NRA and its many local affiliates around the country that make it so difficult to pass federal gun legislation. But I am personally not aware of there ever having been a lot of legislative attention to these devices, and maybe the Las Vegas massacre will cause some attention to be focused on them.
Well, in the meantime, there are other aspects of this horrendous massacre that people who, you know, study guns are pointing to that are hugely different. So let's take, you know, if these were automatic weapons, and it seems as if they were, what does that say to you?
It just is a sort of an additional breathtaking aspect of this uniquely American phenomenon of the periodic mass shooting. And it is very disheartening. And at the same time, I would worry about whether we're used to it and somewhat jaded, and people are talking about it and feeling bad about it today and tomorrow, but what about next week and next month and next year? And these things tend to fade from memory relatively quickly.
Well, people are pointing to the infamous Texas Tower attack, Charles Whitman, 1966, you know, climbed up into a tower, same kind of thing. He had height, he had guns, he killed 17, wounded 30. One could presume that if he had had an automatic weapon, that toll would be much higher. But he also had the height. Your thoughts on how that changes everything, too, the fact that this shooter in Las Vegas was 32 floors up.
Yeah. I think it will call into question many public events that resemble this country music concert if they are adjacent to skyscraper buildings. I think the security people will think twice about how vulnerable the attendees at the event will be, because so much security attention at mass events has been focused on enlarging the periphery around the event so that people can be checked for weapons at a distance from where the festivities are taking place. But now you've got a whole new phenomenon of, as you say, someone potentially firing at great height, and we are reminded that using either semi-automatic military-style weapons or fully automatic weapons, that the distance, which I think has been estimated at some 400 yards, mm-hmm. 300, 400 yards, is not a barrier to hitting people, particularly when they're grouped so closely together.
Well, James Allen Fox, the Northeastern University criminologist, tells the Washington Post, not just those things you mentioned, this ability to fire from a distance, to fire from above, which, you know, enabled him to target people, but also, if he had been on the ground, he would have been taken out much sooner. Probably he had double the time to be able to shoot.
I think that's a very fair point.
Paul Barrett, his book is Glock, The Rise of America's Guns. We've spoken to him before about gun issues. He's deputy director of the Stern Center for Business and Human Rights at NYU. Paul, thank you.
You bet.
And we mentioned the Machine Gun Vegas shooting range. They closed yesterday and today because of the shooting and issued this statement. We believe, as we always have, that there should absolutely be more stringent control of the types of firearms private individuals can own. There's no doubt that the shooter's ability to inflict so many casualties was heavily due to weapons he had access to. That's the Machine Gun Vegas shooting range.